talk about some of the more interesting, constructive, and instructive revisions to Bhagavad Gita as it is. Nothing that I'll say in this seminar is meant to bash the first edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's an excellent book. It's available. We publish it. This is published by the BBT. And if that's the edition that you prefer, that's fine with us. All we would ask is that you please follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions by getting your copy of whichever edition you prefer from Srila Prabhupada's publishing house, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And I'll begin by reading a letter from Srila Prabhupada with his instructions in that regard. Pills, and we're all set to go. Old Men's Club. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. This is a memorandum to all ISKCON centers dated March 14th, 1974, written at the Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. My dear disciples, please accept my blessings. Now that our ISKCON is growing into a huge worldwide organization, it has come to my attention that sometimes centers are printing my literature, taking collection, and spending all outside the jurisdiction of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. This must not go on. I specifically formed the BBT to invest in it exclusive rights for the printing of all literature containing my teachings, writings, and lectures. In this way, the collections are to be divided 50% for printing new books and 50% for construction of temples. The BBT can authorize the center to print, as in the case of foreign translations, with the agreement that when the foreign printing becomes financially solvent, they will pay royalties to the BBT. But all printing of ISKCON literature must be by the BBT or under their sanction and approval. If temples print independently, it will be at the cost of the books I am myself printing, and could eventually cause the financial ruin of the BBT, meaning I could not order new books from the printer or have sufficient funds for construction of temple projects. I trust that this is now clear and you will all do the needful. If you have any questions in this matter, you can write to me directly or consult with the GBC representative. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So I think that's eminently clear that Srila Prabhupada wanted his books published exclusively by the BBT. He did not want them published by any other publisher. Of course, he said the BBT could give sanction, and the BBT has given no moral sanction to any other publisher. Due to an unfortunate circumstance where a fallen ISKCON guru had not been legally removed as a trustee of the DDT, we were more or less obliged to give a license to another publisher to print certain of Srila Prabhupada's books. And so they have a legal right to do so, and they've been legally agreed to by the DDT. But no court in the United States or anywhere else in the world can give anyone the moral right to do something contrary to Srila Prabhupada's stated wishes. And the DDT trustees certainly have not given their spiritual or moral or any other but grudging legal approval to any other publisher. So those ISKCON centers that wish to strictly follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, or those followers of Srila Prabhupada who wish to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, can find those instructions clearly stated here. And anyone who wants to do something else doesn't have to explain it to me. It will be between you and your spiritual master, or between you and the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we'll leave it at that. Except to say that I would consider myself very fortunate not to be in your shoes when called upon to explain why I had found it wise to set this instruction aside. Okay, so that's our introduction. Whichever edition of BBT of Bhagavad Gita as it is you prefer, please come to the BBT and we will be happy to supply that edition. So again, the first edition is a fine book. It made lots of devotees. It's spiritually powerful. Unfortunately, though, the second edition, which we believe to be still better, has come under considerable criticism, much of it uninformed and regrettably uncivil. So some clarification and explanation seems in order. So here's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to play you an audio file of Srila Prabhupada and explain it. And then I'll give some history of the editing. I'll tell you what was done. And then we'll examine some specific examples. And finally, I'll invite you to ask any questions you may have. Let's distribute some second edition Bhagavad Gita while we're here, so it gives you something more to hold on to. And I need a checker to keep me honest, someone who'd like to read along in the first edition and see that what I'm saying is there, is actually there. Okay, Vaisheshik Prabhu, keep me honest. Now, allora. I'm going to play you an audio file which comes from the very end of the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is a file of Srila Prabhupada speaking the introduction. It was recorded apparently by Srila Prabhupada himself speaking to an empty room on February 19th, 1966. The introduction is the only audio still existing of the original material to Bhagavad Gita as it is. whatever other dictation Srila Prabhupada did was simply recorded over. The tapes were used and reused. But we do have the introduction. The entire introduction is available from the Bhaktivedanta archives. Now, what you see on the screen is the text from the first edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's coming from the end. Maybe you want to follow along. You know the page number. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature. Just toward the end.
Page 28.
And in your book, Vaishya, it'll be a different page number. But it begins, in conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature. Usually what I do when I play this file is I just play it all the way through and let you observe the differences. But I'm going to try to do it a different way. We'll listen and stop and note the differences as we go along. Let's see how that works. Now, I only have to find... Oh, okay, this should be pretty easy. Let's close this down. Bring this over. I have so many things open that I don't know where they all are. I should tell you, keep your eyes on the ball up here. I shouldn't have given you that. I misled you. If you look up here, and let's do this again. I'm sorry. It followed, as you say, it followed very closely, didn't it? What you saw is what you got. I've misled you again. Okay. Put your books down and instead look here. And now I'm going to play this one more time. If I can find out where it is. Stop. Close. Facebook, not Facebook. Give me anything else but Facebook. Oh, I see. This is Windows. Close Windows. Now follow along on the board.
Therefore, the conclusion is that Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Sahasranidam Punyam Japatir Vajata Pumali. And the result will be, if he properly follows the instruction, then he can be freed from all miseries of life, all anxieties of life, bhayos tokati vibarjita, all fears of life in this life, as well as he'll get a spiritual life in the next life.
Okay, what did we notice?
Different
verse. Totally different verse.
Yeah.
Gita, what is it?
Shastramidam
punyam yakpate prayatat puman. And instead we have nehabi kramana shosti pranjabhaya vidyate, along with its translation. How did that happen? It happened because next Prabhupada quoted, as you might have heard, Payashoka Vivarjita, which comes from the second verse of the Gita Mahatmya. Back in those days, 1972-ish, no one was familiar among our editors with this Gita Mahatmya. And so they didn't recognize this verse, Payashoka Vivarjita. But they did know a verse in which the word Paya appeared. So they put it in, supplied the translation for it, and that's what you see. Which is why the text for the first edition does not match what Srila Prabhupada said, although the second edition does. Continuing. You're going to be, of course it's hard, because there is natural editing that needs to be done, but you'll be, we're just hearing about you'll find your way. I won't tell you exactly where you are because I don't know, but you'll see. You're past that, you're on the page that you're seeing.
Gita dhyana silasya pranayama pranayama parasacha naiva santi papani rupajan kritanich. But another advantage is that if one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him.
What do you notice there?
Will not react.
Anything else? The whole verse went out, right? There was a Sanskrit verse Prabhupada quoted.
Gita
Jayana Shilasya.
If you're in the audience, you're making comments, please use the microphones. There's one in the front and one in the back.
Okay. So what you might notice is that the second quotation from Gita Mahatmya is also left out, and to make a long story short, all eight of the verses from the Gita Mahatmya, which Srila Prabhupada will quote, have been left out. None of them are included in the first edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is, whereas all of them are included in the second edition. I also heard, then by the grace of the Lord, all the reactions of his past misdeeds. Is that there in the first, in the second edition, Radhea?
By the grace of the Lord.
And as you see, it's not there in the first edition.
The Lord says, very loudly,
Lord says very loudly. Does he say it very loudly in this book? No. First, second edition, does he say very loudly?
Yes.
He says very loudly.
Very loudly, okay, but not in the first edition.
There are this that is possible. One who surrenders unto the Lord, he takes the responsibility to indemnify from all the actions of sin.
Well, this is a small point. Prabhupada says to indemnify from all the reactions of sins. And the first edition says indemnify all the reactions of sins. Which it was right when Prabhupada said it, and it was wrong when it was published. Indemnify means to hold blameless or harmless. It's not the sins that are being held harmless. It's you, the person who surrenders. So Prabhupada said indemnify from all the reactions. And here it says indemnify the reactions. So the reactions are getting off the free ride here.
Maranimo janam pusha janasnanadi dinidhi janasnanam dinidhi sakrit gitaam utisnanam samsaram malam nasanam. When a clean sense one said, by taking bath in the water. But one who takes one's bath in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, his the dirty material life is altogether vanished. Gita Sugita Tattvabhya because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, people may not read all other Vedic literatures. Simply, if we attentively and regularly read and hear Bhagavad Gita, Gita, Kartavya, and once you adopt these means, by all means, Gita, Kartavya, Kimanai, Shastra Vistri, because at the present age, people are embarrassed with so many things that it is hardly possible to divert their attention in all the Vedic literature. This one literature will do, because it is the essence of all Vedic literature, and especially that spoken by the Supreme Personality of God. Bhartam Vitasadvasam Vishnu Bhaktya Vinishtam Gita Gambodakam Vipva Unajanam Kriddhate. And it is said that one who drinks the water of the Ganges, he also gets salvation. Then what to speak of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the nectar in the whole Mahabharata. And is spoken by Vishnu. Not Krishna, is the original Vishnu. Vishnu Bhakta Vinishita. It is coming out of the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gambodakam, Ganges, is seen to be emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. And Bhagavad Gita is emanated from the mouth of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord. From neutral position we can study.
Prabhupada said, from neutral position we can study. Here it says our position. What does it say in the second edition? From impartial. Not just our position, from a neutral or impartial position. Okay. So that's something else that's been caught.
That Bhagavad Gita is more important than the Gandhi's order. Sarva Upanishadu Garo Dugdha Upalanandana Partha Vasa Sudhi Bhakta Dugdham Gita Mutam Maha. Yes, this Gita Upanishad is just like a cow and...
Gita Upanishad. Is Gita Upanishad mentioned in the first edition?
No.
No.
It just says Bhagavad Gita.
No.
Just says Bhagavad Gita.
It's
in the second edition?
Gita
Upanishad. Okay.
I'm sure what I have is the Gita Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita.
The Lord is famous as cow walk, and he was milking this cow, Sarva Upanishad. And it is the essence of all Upanishads and represented as the Ka and the Lord.
The essence of all the Upanishads, is that in the first edition?
No, Svedas.
Is it there in the second edition?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Being expert cow, he is milking the Ka. And Bhaktivasa and Arjuna is just like the cup and Sudhir Bhokta and learned scholars and pure devotees, they are to take this milk. Sudhir Bhokta Dutham Gita Mutanaha. The nectar, the milk of Bhagavad Gita is meant for learned devotees. Evam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Ika Deva Devaki Putra Deva Ika Mantra Satasya Navani Yani Karma Karmapi Egan Tasya Devasya Siva. That the world should learn from the Bhagavad Gita, the lesson, Evam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. There is one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, for the people of the whole world, and that is this Bhagavad Gita. Deva Devaki Putra Eva. And there is one God for the whole world, is Sri Krishna. And Eka Mantrastasya Navani and one hymn, mantra, one hymn only, one prayer or one hymn, he to chant his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Eka mantra stasya navan jani karmapi ekam tasya devasya siva. And there is one work only, that is to serve the Supreme Personality of God. If one learns from Bhagavad Gita, then the people are very much anxious to have one religion, one God, one scripture, and one business, or one activity of life. This is summarized in the Bhagavad Gita. That one God is Krishna. Krishna is not sectarian God. Krishna, from the name of Krishna, Krishna means, as we have explained, what Krishna means, the greatest thing. So therefore,
that's where the tape comes out. Prabhupada's recording on 1 hour real tapes. and that's where it stops.
The conclusion is that Bhagavad Gita.
So, as you can see, there's a considerable amount of stuff that was, first of all, as you can see, I agree with Prabhu, the original editor, did a very good job. It's hard to edit spoken speech and make it into written text. It's challenging, and he did a very expert job. On the other hand, there were discrepancies, particularly all the Sanskrit verses from the Gita Mahatmya were left out. Some other small things were skipped, and one verse was put in that wasn't supposed to be there. So this illustrates that here, as in the whole book, our aim was to recover the lost material that Srila Prabhupada had originally dictated and to bring the text closer to what Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada originally said.
It seemed, when I was going through this, it seemed like it was pretty clear that one thing that was happening was that in the tape, Srila Prabhupada was reciting the seven verses of Gita Mahatmya in Sanskrit, and then he was explaining the verses in English, including translating them at the same time, and that the editor, the earlier editor, without the benefit of having the Gita Mahatmya or understanding the Sanskrit, was editing and therefore sometimes editing out. For example, Srila Prabhupada said, Samsara Mala Nashana. Nashana means vanquished. But he left out vanquished because he thought some other word cleansed was better, but it's not there in the verse. Right. So it was, you know, so it's really, you could see that he was doing the best he could with the tools he had, but he didn't have the Gita Mahatmya, nor did he understand it.
Right, exactly. It was quite a service to do, to make the book ready for publication with the best tools available at the time. So certainly the editor's not to blame, but still so much was lost that could be and was later restored. Anything else so far? Yeah?
Looking at foreign language versions of the Bhagavad Gita, they do the first verse in the same format as they do the latter seven verses, or they give the whole first verse of the Gita Mahatmya.
Mm-hmm.
And in this English version, it just kind of gives the first half of the...
Yeah, that was a sort of BBT practice that Srila Prabhupada authorized, that when sometimes Prabhupada would just quote Sanskrit, and he would leave it to the editors to add the English. So later printings, that was sometimes done for this verse.
I mean the Sanskrit.
Oh yes, they would sometimes Prabhupada would quote just part. The editors observed that Prabhupada only quoted part of the verse. So for symmetry, where he quoted every other verse in full, they supplied the rest of the second verse also.
So we couldn't do that for the first verse, Gita Shastra?
It could have been done, but I didn't do it, so a later editor came and finished the job.
For only the foreign language versions, not the English one?
I think the later printings of the English version also.
Oh, okay.
Came at it. Yes? Microphone.
So when the audio was there, at the time I believe there will be manuscript in the Lilamrut Sasruta, as I mentioned that Prabhupada gave one bundle of manuscript.
I will explain what the manuscript situation was. I'll explain it in a moment. I'll get to that in just one moment. And then if I miss something. Something else. Okay, as promised. Here's the manuscript situation. Well, I'll give you some history first, then I'll tell you about the manuscripts. Srila Prabhupada apparently wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is during 1966 and 1967. The Macmillan Company published the first abridged edition in 1968, and then the first complete unabridged edition in 1972. In about 1980, at the request of various devotees and the BBT trustees, I undertook a revision of the text I consulted Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and others for the Sanskrit revisions. For the English, I consulted Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, Garuda Prabhu, and others. In 1982, the GBC discussed the work and approved, contingent on approval by a panel that appointed to review the final revisions to the translations. They met and did that. And in 1982, I sent a list of every proposed revision for the translations to virtually every ISKCON leader in the English-speaking world and every ISKCON temple in the English-speaking world, and asked for comments. Quite an endeavor in the days before the internet. In 1983, the BBT published the second edition.
And Maharaj, I can witness. I was your secretary.
Oh.
Remember? And I was in Seoul Street, and I was one that sent out the packets.
Oh, you sent out the packets.
I sent out the packets to all the leaders of this college.
Thank you.
Witness.
In 1985, the GBC reaffirmed its endorsement of the second edition. Now, to make good on the manuscript promise, there were, in editing the Bhagavad Gita as it is the second time around, I relied on manuscripts in three different forms. Four, if you include what we've just heard, the introduction was recorded, and we have the recording. For the first six chapters, we have typed pages, which look like the one you see on the screen. These were typed by Srila Prabhupada himself. You'll notice that the Sanskrit is all neatly in place, and the pages are sort of recognizable as being the type that Srila Prabhupada himself gave us with two-finger typing. So for about the first six chapters, this is what we have. For the seventh chapter, we have something different. Seven through 12. In the seventh chapter, Srila Prabhupada had received a dictaphone. Gargamuni Prabhu, my godbrother, had purchased for Srila Prabhupada a dictating machine, and Srila Prabhupada began using that. That made it possible for Srila Prabhupada to go much more quickly, but it also introduced certain problems. As you can see here, the transcriber couldn't hear the Sanskrit words properly, so he just essentially left them out. He also made typing errors and abbreviated. It may be argued that when K was present on this earth, he was visible to everyone, then how it can be said that he is not manifest to everyone. So he made typing errors, he abbreviated, he left things out. You can see in the prayer of Kunti in the SB, it is said blank that the Lord is covered by the cover curtain of Yoga Maya, and so ordinary people cannot understand. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the blank. In the 15th, it's said like this, blank, in this mantra, the devotee prays. So that's typical of what we find for the dictations, particularly way back then, in those early days, when the devotees didn't have the Sanskrit to refer to, were unfamiliar with the verses, maybe had a hard time even with Prabhupada's English accent, and or his Bengali accent when he was speaking English. So this is what we got for the set for the middle six chapters. For the last six chapters, Srila Prabhupada continued to dictate, but by the time I got to the revision in 1980-something, those last six chapters had been lost. The dictations, transcribed dictations, had been lost. What we did have, however, was a retyping of those dictations. The retyping had been done by me in 1968. It was an engagement given to me when I was a brand new member. And so, unfortunately, however, I wasn't copying those early dictations letter by letter with all their mistakes. I incorporated the editing, much of the editing that had already been done. So in these last six chapters, there's a lot that might have been recovered if we had the dictations, but couldn't be recovered because they were hidden. They were lost. But sometimes there is material that appears in these last six chapters in the copies, and we are able to retrieve that. Yes?
In the manuscripts, Srila Prabhupada, did he very closely follow Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan?
Sometimes.
So were you able to get missing information by going back into them?
Yes, sometimes we were. We didn't just look for something and say, well, what could have been here? But sometimes when there was something that was unclear in the manuscript, we could go back to Baladev Vidyabhushan and it would become clear. Or if there was a verse that quote was quoted and all you saw was a blank, we could go back to Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan and see what the verse had been.
There were also commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, but did Srila Prabhupada use that?
Sometimes it seems he referred to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes to Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. So, of course, our Sanskrit department had all of those available later in the 1980s.
Do you feel like you were able to fill in all the blanks?
No.
No.
There are places where I can almost feel that there's something that was there, but there's no evidence of it in the manuscript that I have in my hand. And I can't just say, well, I know that Prabhupada must have or would have. I just have to say, gee, we probably lost something here. And it stays lost because there's no evidence in the manuscript that it was there. So that's our principle. Where there's evidence in the manuscript that Prabhupada said something, we try to recover it. Where there's no such evidence, even though we might suspect that he might have had something more, we can't go on our suspicions. We just have to believe what's there.
So nobody please clarify the last part. You mentioned that the manuscript got lost.
Yeah.
So
it was there in the 1970s.
I
saw it because I was the production manager for the first edition, and all these manuscripts, all these transcriptions were there. In fact, that's how I typed this manuscript that you see before you. I was typing from those manuscripts. But sometime between 1972 and 1980, those last six chapters were gone. I don't know why or how.
Well, what exactly is the job of a production manager?
Well, his job is to get the book out as quickly as possible, and Prabhupada was really unhappy for me for being slow. That was the main thing he criticized me for when I was production manager. It wasn't for not being careful enough or meticulous enough or anything like that. It was, where is the book? You've been promising the book for so long. It's our fault that we're not coming out with this book. The world is waiting. Get moving, kid. That was the essence of it. So my job was to get the book out. That included corresponding with the editor, getting the manuscripts together, looking at the manuscripts, sometimes observing problems in the manuscripts that were still unresolved, getting the Sanskrit editing done, moving the manuscript between the Sanskrit department and the composing department, the typesetting department, onto layout, back and forth between layout and typesetting for corrections, which were extensive because of typing mistakes. Finally getting it proofread again, and then in those days photographed, because we were working in a photographic process, not a digital process, and shipping it off to final product to the Macmillan Company.
Would you say that Srila Prabhupada was more concerned at that time with getting something out than with, you know, how did he deal with the fact that he knew, or did he know, that there were a million mistakes in the earlier editions, that we were producing something, but how much did he overlook that in order to get the books out?
Well, I wouldn't speculate how much he knew about what, but his, I can say where he focused. His concern was get the book out. That's what he wrote to me. He didn't write to me and say, are you sure that you're being very careful to make sure that the editing is like this or the editing is like that? It was all, get this book out there. That's what he was saying to me. And he wasn't overseeing very carefully. He probably was in India and other parts of the world, and we weren't going back and forth with him about this correction and that correction, or this translation and that translation. With a few exceptions, there were a few places where I did correspond with Prabhupada. But for the most part, it was, you know, the way Prabhupada set it up, we do the work and we get it out, and that's what Prabhupada was, had charged us to do.
Did he make any comments early on about correcting mistakes or?
Yeah.
Did he see them? Because a lot of people say, oh, he lectured from the Bhagavad Gita for many, many years, and he never said anything.
Yeah. Of course, sometimes he did mention something. There was a famous instance where there was cattle raising, and Prabhupada said, no, it's cattle protection, Goraksha.
And he mentioned something also about the Blessed Lord, why you say Blessed Lord.
Well, that was actually before Bhagavad Gita came out. I think Prabhupada was speaking from perhaps Dr. Radhakrishnan's edition, or one of the other editions that has Krishna as the Blessed Lord. And Prabhupada didn't, he said, why you say like that? However, he did approve. What Prabhupada dictated was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And later when he wrote a book, a summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, he chose not to call it Krishna, the Blessed Lord. But Hayagriva apparently asked Srila Prabhupada, Hayagriva considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be less poetic or less literary than the Blessed Lord. And apparently he asked Prabhupada's permission, and Prabhupada gave permission to change it to the Blessed Lord. So it did have Prabhupada's approval.
So if it had Prabhupada's approval, why change it?
In my estimation, my calculation, my thought was that Srila Prabhupada would be more pleased by what he originally said than by the more poetic version. That if the Blessed Lord was authorized, certainly it was not, certainly what Srila Prabhupada has said himself was not less authorized. And in fact, there's a place, the first time that in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, where Krishna speaks, and we find Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the purport is sort of an extended, what you call an apology or explanation, why I'm using this term, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Which in his in the first edition he doesn't use. When Krishna speaks, he's the Blessed Lord. But in Prabhupada's purport, there's an extended explanation of why this is the correct term, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I'm prepared to take the heat. If Srila Prabhupada is displeased that in his Bhagavad Gita as it is, Lord Krishna is referred to by the term he almost obsessively uses, consistently uses, Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I committed a sin by restoring that, I'm prepared to face Srila Prabhupada and take the heat.
You mentioned that we have lost the last six, the original transcripts of the last six chapters of the dictation that Srila Prabhupada did. What has been done in terms of archiving whatever we had? When did that happen, and how are the archival materials kept so that future generations of critical scholars can compare different editions and try to understand what the
Now we have the Bhaktivedanta archives. which keeps this material very carefully. The manuscripts we have for all of the books are in file drawers, neatly categorized in a fireproof, theft-proof vault with a door this thick. And they're all additionally digitized so that digital copies are kept with multiple backups. And in addition to that, there's a website for internal BBT use where these manuscripts are also online for the use of BBT editors. So there's quite a bit of redundancy, redundant preservation built into our present system.
So if anyone later said, I think that the second edition got something wrong, or...
They can go back to whatever manuscripts we have.
I've also heard the argument, and I think I wrote to you about this, that the argument goes that if you can't go back to the original manuscripts because then they produced a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Roy Ram saying where Srila Prabhupada made some corrections on the original manuscript, and then those corrections aren't in the original manuscript. So once Srila Prabhupada corrected them, and then you go back to the original manuscripts, which are later corrected by Srila Prabhupada himself, then it's unbonafide to...
Well, standard editing procedure is to collect everything you have. So you collect your original manuscripts, you correct any proof sheets on which the author has indicated further corrections, you collect any printed editions that were done during the author's lifetime or later, so that you have essentially all the evidence in front of you. And then from that, you establish, well, what's supposed to be here? You say, okay, here's the original manuscript, but wait a second, here's a correction that the author made later, and you incorporate that. In one instance, after this second edition came out, we received from Stampa, the son of Hayagriva Prabhu, a collection of Hayagriva's letters. And among those letters was one page of a manuscript from Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it was a page we already had, but this was a carbon copy. And on that carbon copy, Srila Prabhupada had added an additional line, bashing a favorite impersonalist target. And apparently what had happened is that Hayagriva had edited from the other copy and wasn't looking at this copy when he did the book. So when that additional bash came to our attention, we marked it for inclusion in later printings of the book, because it was clear to us that this was something that the author had intended to include, and therefore it made sense for us to include it. This is standard. This is standard. This is what editors and scholars do. They don't say, well, this is what was printed, and what's printed must be right. Now, it doesn't matter what the original manuscript said. What was printed must be right. If you take that position, which you can take, it's a position, that no, don't look at the manuscripts, just look at the book, whatever was in the book was authorized, that has consequences, and you'll see those consequences as we proceed this evening. Anything else? Shall we proceed?
Yes.
Okay. Let's close this. And as I've mentioned, there were difficulties that the devotees who were editing and transcribed, who were producing Bhagavad Gita as it is, had to struggle with. And those difficulties involved problems with hearing, problems with not knowing Sanskrit, and so on. And now I'd like to give you a chance to see what those problems were with hearing. As I mentioned, Prabhupada used the dictating machine, the fancy dictating machine that you see in videos of Prabhupada wasn't the one he used, it was an older version. And it had, as earphones, not your, what are they called? What's, not Koss or Sennheiser or any of those guys, Bose earphones. They were like, they looked like a little stethoscope. They were basically two tubes that you stuck in your ear, and the sound element was at the crossing of those tubes down here. It wasn't the greatest. But in addition to that, Srila Prabhupada did a lot of clicking of his microphone. You'll see the problem. What you're going to see here is Srila Prabhupada translating a section of Srimad Bhagavatam. This was videoed by Yadubara Prabhu. So you'll get to see the video of Prabhupada dictating, and you'll get to see, you'll get to hear what the transcribers heard. Ready to go?
In
the production process, generally Prabhupada didn't read it again. It's not that they would be transcribed and then Srila Prabhupada would carefully check the transcription. Sometimes he did. There are a few places where we see that Prabhupada made corrections. But generally, he didn't. And after it was later edited, there's very little indication that he ever saw it until the book was published. Now, this thing is too big. And that's a problem. Okay, I'm going to see if I can adjust this, and bear with me for a moment. This is a... So I want you to be able to see this, but it's a question of the screen making things too concise. No, it's... This is actually a Windows program, but it's not running under Windows, so I have to see what I can do about that. Give me a moment for that. It's a technical issue. It looked really good on my screen, but it doesn't look good.
No, I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. So give me a moment, and we hope that we'll get this right. Okay, this can go. That's what I need.
Can I ask one thing?
Yes, please.
Even in the latest version of the Gita, in that introduction, the first verse of the Gita Mahatmya is still just the first half in the Sanskrit.
Yeah, it's marked for being fixed.
Oh, okay.
It takes a while. If you look in the Veda base, you'll probably find that it's been fixed. Or if you certainly if you'll look in the next revision, you'll find that it's been fixed. It just takes a while. Okay, so you're supposed to launch when it says launch.
Maharaj, if I could ask you something non-technical.
You want to ask me something non-technical?
Yeah.
Good, because the technical side is a pain here at the moment.
No, I was listening to what you were telling us, and I was watching what you had. And I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada was giving these lectures on language. In the same language that the people were listening, it was their language, but it was not theirs because his accent was so different, his presentation, the way he was talking to them. I was thinking that today I have the Bhagavad Gita, I have the best possible translators, I have Guru Maharajas who will melt it up and pour it out for you, and did I struggle? Mm. And then that time, the people who came to him, I'm wondering, what was it? What was the one thing about Srila Prabhupada that did that? They were there, they were listening to him. I don't know if they even got 20% of what he was saying, but they were there and their faith.
Yeah.
They just walked out into the world with, I don't know how much they understood, but their faith was so strong.
That's the miracle of the association of a pure devotee, that even if you get 20% of what he says, you can go back to Godhead. Okay, let's see if we do better this time. Sorry for the experimental nature of this. It's nice to have checked this out earlier, which is really what you're supposed to do. Oh, no, I can't do that either. Maybe I can. I have another idea. We'll try something else.
So in continuation of that, when these devotees go out there, like in Japan and other places where they're trying to spread this knowledge, and they're working with such limited resources, what is it about them that converts others?
It's the same potency.
Srila Prabhupada, yes, they get it. It's just amazing how it flows.
It is. Prabhupada's amazing, and this movement is amazing.
While you're working on that, just following up on you, I wanted to tell the story about one of the first devotees that preached to me. His name was Akinchana Das. Mm-hmm. And he told me that before they had many books and before they had learned many verses, they knew from Srila Prabhupada the standard was that you quote the scripture and then translate it. So what he said we used to do, or at least he used to do, was, for example, he was preaching, and he knew that the person he was preaching to wouldn't know the difference. So he would say, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. For the soul there is never birth or death. Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale. Nor having once been will he ever cease to be. So he would fake it as if he knew what he was saying, but he would just be saying any random Sanskrit that he knew.
Well, I'm not getting it the Windows way either. Let's see if I can find it again. Let's see how badly I'm doing. This is a little bit disappointing. I'm sorry. We'll see if we can catch this and get it straightened out for you quickly. This goes down. I'm just going to go over here. Yeah, let's have a little kirtan for a couple of minutes. That would be really good. This is the purport to the last verse of the second chapter, I believe. In the first edition, in fact, you could read it out by Shesha Kapoor. I believe it's the last, well, where is it? I'll find it exactly with the database. Text 1 of chapter 2. Could you read that out for us, this realization?
This realization is made possible by working with the fruitive being situated in the fixed conception of the real self.
Okay. Everyone understand that?
No.
No.
No. In fact, we never understood it. We'd be giving Bhagavad Gita class and somebody would say, Prabhu, could you explain that line? This realization is made possible by working with the fruitive being situated. What's the fruitive being? And we'd sort of say, well, you see, the living being is in fruitive mentality, and, or we'd somehow or other try to come up with a reasonable explanation. Not very well. This is the original manuscript. And this realization is possible by working with fruitive... what? Something fruitive, something...
Result.
Something on fixed-up conclusion of the real... Oh, now I've got it. And this realization is made possible by working with fruitive result, being situated on fixed-up conclusion of the real self. And if you look after with, by working with, you'll see that there's a little insertion. I think it's Prabhupada's handwriting, out. So it's, this realization is possible by working without fruitive result, being situated on fixed-up conclusion of the real self. That make better sense?
Yeah.
And so, in the second edition, this realization is possible when one works without attachment to fruitive results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Would you give that a thumbs up? Here's another one. The swine who eat the soil do not care to accept sweetmeats made of sugar and ghee. Anyone see a problem there? What's the problem?
Swine don't eat soil.
Swine don't eat soil. You don't see earth eating, you know, swine eating dirt. What was the problem? This is the manuscript. The swine who eats the night soil will not care to accept sweetmeats made of sugar and ghee. And someone, an editor, put night in parentheses and put a little question mark over it, indicating that he didn't know what night soil is. Do you know what night? You know what night soil is, right? Someone want to give us a brief definition?
Stool.
Thank you very much. Stool. Which swine do like to eat? So the swine who eat the night soil. Small thing, but kind of funny. This is a major one. Paish, could you help us out with this one? In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, let me find out where that is. Chapter 7, text 25.
Kunti prays, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge.
Okay, there are two problems here. First is, if you look at that verse, 1:8, what?
18.
It has nothing to do with the subject matter at hand. 1818. 2 1 8 18. Kunti said, "O Krishna, I offer my obeisances to you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all." Quite a mismatch, isn't it? Okay, 1 8 18. It appears that the verse Srila Prabhupada wanted to, well, that's the first problem. The second problem is this prayer that Kunti is praying. It's obviously not Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.18. Is anyone familiar with this prayer? Has anyone heard this prayer before? The one that... Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushana bhavarnu satya dharmaya drishtaya. That's an exact fit for the translation Srila Prabhupada is giving. And let's see what happened in the manuscript. The prayer of Kunti in the SB, it is said, blank, that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and so ordinary men, I think is what's cut off, cannot understand. This Yoga Maya is also confirmed in the 15th. It is said like this, blank. In this mantra, the devotee prays, "O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe," and so on. When you decipher that, you get what we should have. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and so ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya is also confirmed in the Isha Upanishad, Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, "O my Lord," and so on. And if you look at 1.8.19, it fits. Maya Javani Kachchandam Agyan Bhokshav Agriyam Nalakshase Vudhadrashaku. You are eternally covered by the curtain of your deluding energy. Yoga Maya. So the Yoga Maya potency is mentioned in 1.8.19, not 18. And it's confirmed in the Isha Upanishad, text 15. But Kunti doesn't pray, "Oh my Lord, you're covered by your Brahmajyoti. Please remove the Brahmajyoti covering." So that is another mistake fixed. Would you give thumbs up to this, to the revision?
Where in the Bhagavad Gita is this that you're reading from, where it says Kunti says?
Vaisheshika Prabhu, where is that?
7.25,
chapter
7.
Seventh
paragraph.
Chapter 7, text 25. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, there is this website which is misleading many people, which actually they claim that they are doing the comparison of the first edition and second edition, and they're doing this. So it is actually causing confusion to many innocent people. So do you think there is value in giving a rebuttal for each of the points raised in the website?
Yes, I do.
Website? Is it there already such a website?
Yes. The website you're referring to has been put together by a person who doesn't identify himself on the site, I don't believe. His name is Madhuvisa, and people think sometimes that he's my esteemed godbrother, Madhuvisa Das, who was sometimes a GBC man, and was Prabhupada's, of course, Prabhupada's disciple. In fact, he's someone who first came in touch with the Krishna consciousness movement sometime in the 1980s. In Australia, who has had difficulties working with the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, so that he's been thrown out of most of the temples and that he's gone to, and is affectionately known in Australia as Mad Mike. If you go to Google video and Google Madhuvisa, you might come on an unedited video of this Madhuvisa meeting with the BBT trustees. And anyone who sees that video will probably get a very clear and definite idea of what standard of honesty you can expect from this man. That apart, if you go to bbtedit.com, you'll find just about everything that's ever been brought up about these changes answered. Their strategy, which is really stupid, if you don't mind the blunt term, is very simple. Here's what the original book said. Here's what the second edition said. See how different they are? Oh my God, how dare they? And there's no thought given to the possibility that between the first edition or underlying both editions is something called what the author originally said, which is accessible and available, and which was drawn upon for doing the second edition. And even, in fact, though the maintainer of the website knows very well now that those revisions come closer to what Srila Prabhupada's manuscripts said, he refuses to change his tune. And again, he can stand before Krishna and Srila Prabhupada with that accomplishment, that devotional contribution to the Krishna consciousness movement. And that's him between him and Krishna, Prabhupada, and maybe someone else whose name starts with Y. Yes?
In trial practice seminars that lawyers take, they're taught that having people do research and that cases are often won or lost in the opening statements before any of the evidence comes in. And the reason is because, you know, an effective opening statement where you're not supposed to even make argument, but to tell the jury, I'm giving you a roadmap of what the evidence will show, a jury puts in their mind, they side with one side or another, they have an idea about a story, and then the task is to turn them around from the story that they've already become convinced of.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that on this issue, people can get convinced that, you know, there's an evil conspiracy afoot and that some people did something, you know, they feel self-righteous about it. And then when you start to point these things out to you, they say, well, that one maybe changed, but they shouldn't have changed so much.
Yeah.
Maybe the three or four that you've showed us tonight.
Well, here are the positions I've seen staked out. One, not a word of Prabhupada's books should be changed. That position has been just essentially abandoned by almost anyone who's taken it, because it's so difficult. Even I understand that one of the people who was sort of beating the drum for not a word of my book should be changed recently said on Facebook that, well, we only changed three places, and those were obvious places where it needed to be changed. So nobody really, hardly anyone really stands now for not a word of my book should be changed, although that was sort of the battle cry with which the opening statements were made. The second position is, well, to fix a few little things would be okay. You know, if you just fix some punctuation or spelling or capitalization, that would be all right. But not these big changes. The next position is, well, obviously the big things had to be changed, but why did you make all these little changes? Oh, Krishna.
And also, There are people estimating that there are 5,000 changes.
Yeah, there's 5,000 changes. Of course, their estimate, I don't think they sat there and counted it. They used some computer program and it said 5,000. So that means like every time you did a, you put in a comma, it's one. If you made a spelling correction, that's two. If you did anything you did might count as one, or it might even count as two, the way these programs count. But let's say there's 5,000 taking their number. And let's say there's 1,000 pages in Bhagavad Gita as it is, rough number. 10 changes per chain, per page. That's beans. That's nothing. If you're counting commas and punctuation marks and all that, you know, every little thing is counted. 10 changes, you know, let's look back at that Kunti thing. You know, how many changes do we make in the course of that one short paragraph? You're probably looking at 10 changes right there.
It would be 5 per page if you're talking 5,000 over 1,000 pages. You just said 10 per page.
Oh, I'm sorry.
5 per page.
Look at my arithmetic. I'm good at English. You know, it's shocking, 5,000. But if you actually look at 5,000 over the course of a book of that size, and you look at how many changes are entailed in just fixing up a little mess like this one, I'm not shocked, 5,000. I don't know if it's the right number or not, but if it's right, it's not shocking. So our position is, you make the changes that bring it closer to Srila Prabhupada, that fix some omission or error, that you do. You don't just count numbers and say, well, I don't want to have... But sometimes you see the position, well, if they'd only made the essential changes, maybe 5 or 10, but, you know, we're going to go over more than 5 or 10 just today.
If they add a verse that was omitted because they weren't familiar with those verses in those days, and the verse has 20 to 30 words in it, is that considered 30 edits?
You have to ask their computer program. You know, most people who say 5,000 changes, they don't know where they got that number from.
They said it was scientific, actually.
Oh, I'm sure it's scientific.
How many were in the opening statement?
How many were in the
index? Yeah, right. Anyway, I'm not concerned about the number. That's my point.
Maharaj.
Maharaj,
I have a question.
I was going to show you another one of the 5,000 changes, but okay, who's got a question?
Yeah. So, in Bhagavad Gita, we hear that it's written that 640 million soldiers were killed. And then this year I was watching a video where one of the disciples of Prabhupada says Prabhupada had peeked into the room and he said it's a correction, it should be 64 million. Do you want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, if you can find out who that devotee was, put him in touch with us, because that information hasn't reached us.
Yeah, so one more. There are some people posted that not only the text had been changed, but there are a lot of original pictures which had been changed. And what is the reason?
They're right. And they have a very good point. And therefore, the trustees are taking that as a serious issue to deal with. On the one side, these paintings were done in Srila Prabhupada's time under his supervision. On the other side, the book distributors are generally the ones who want to see, who are very particular about price, which is related to the number of paintings in the book, and also to which artwork they want for selling the books. So there's some issues to be discussed in the book between the BBT and the book distribution community in that regard. Personally, my bias is that I agree that the paintings that were done during Srila Prabhupada's time, or else as he himself wrote, improved versions of essentially the same thing is what should be in the books. That's my personal bias, but there are about 7 BBT trustees and many book distributors whose input we want to hear before we make a final determination. But the point is not unreasonable, and we're taking it seriously.
Recently, there is an old interview done by Rameshwar Prabhu, was made in, it was actually made, for Sasaru Maharaj's book, Leelamrita. And in there, Srila Prabhupada, there's a lot of instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave to Rameshwar, who was in charge of production of books. And a lot of them had to do with quality of paper, size of the book, inclusion of artwork, and stuff like that. And then there's the big quote that's been sensationalized by Madhu Visa and his website, is, "You are ruining my books." And it had to do with those things. I don't think it had anything to do with the editing at all, but he was making, according to Rameshwar, he was making that statement, and he was very angry when they wanted to change the size of the Krishna book, for instance, at Dynapond, because the price of paper had gone up and they wanted to keep it affordable for the temples to purchase the books, and Srila Prabhupada was dead against it. So what do you think about that? Do you think that we should go back to printing the big silver Krishna books as they were?
I would look at it very carefully. I personally have a bias toward the form in which things were published in Srila Prabhupada's time. At the same time, I recognize that we need to hear from the book distributors, that we don't act in a vacuum, and that Prabhupada himself didn't act in a vacuum. He might say something, and then if you went back to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, this would increase the price by X," or the book distributors say Y, then Prabhupada might respond in a different way. Prabhupada did give the BBT trustees the authority to use their judgment as to how to decide on these matters. Now again, my personal bias tends toward leave it the way it was when it comes to matters of form and quality. But again, I'm only one. The other trustees have their thoughtful judgment to give to the matter. And the book distributors need to be heard from. So this is another matter which is on the table in front of the BBT trustees, and which we are taking seriously, which I personally take very seriously, and it's a work in progress.
Another point that in your presentation...
Just for a second. I want to get a time fix.
Well, our team starts in 4 minutes.
Okay.
You have a lot more material you want to present.
I have a fair amount. Okay.
One point in your presentation that didn't come out so clearly, and that was when the devotees who were transfixed into different languages came up upon all these different things, and their questions to you and to the other editors were really actually what brought the thing out.
Yeah, a lot of the errors are detected by translators because they have to think very carefully about every word. So they're the ones who find a lot of this stuff and say, "What is this?" I can give you an example. In the Krishna book, the original Krishna book, in which not a word should be changed, there's a line that says, "Once within the..." let's see, let me get it right. "Once within the city of Kashi, within the barricades of Varanasi, there was a drought and shortage of rain." Now, you know that that's a problem. What is this Kashi within the barricades of Varanasi? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? you're all Indians, you know that Kashi and Varanasi and Benares are all the same place. So what is this Kashi within the barricades of Varanasi? So one sharp-eyed Polish translator had the same question. What is this within the barricades of Varanasi? So unlike Bhagavad Gita, Prakrishna book, or most of it, we have the original recordings. So she went to the original recordings, and this is what she heard. Once within the city of Kashi, within brackets, Varanasi. And I admit that I'm one of the sinners responsible for changing it so that it now says Kashi, parentheses, Varanasi. And I'm prepared to stand before Prabhupada or Yamaraj, whoever is responsible for taking the editors to task for these things. Okay, here's another one. Bhayam, fearlessness, is only possible in Krishna consciousness. Okay. I don't even have to explain this one. And here in Prabhupada's handwriting, in fact, it's written Abhayam, which is what it is, although you can't see it here in the second edition. This one's nice. The devotee demigods and the demons, asuras, once took a sea journey. On this journey, nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva drank the poison. From the nectar were produced many entities, among which there was a horse named Ushtashrava. The demons and the demigods once took a sea journey. That was really good, sort of an ecumenical, brotherly move that although we're enemies of one another, we're all going to get on this cruise ship and go on a sea journey. And what we know is that it was not a sea journey. There was journey of the sea. And with just a little adjustment, that becomes there was churning of the sea. And so you can see what happened.
How did you figure that out?
It was obvious. You know, back in 1972, it wasn't obvious because all we had was Bhagavad Gita and first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And nobody knew what this sea journey, sea churning was. But in 1983, we knew the story. You know, Prabhupada translated it in Bhagavatam. We knew the score. So it was easy. But the devotees in 1972 were working under the handicap that they didn't know the story. So journey of the sea means a sea journey, that's all. And so they fixed it, you know, why journey of the sea?
In some of our debates that we've had recently, one Prabhu said, well, in order to get out in the middle of the sea to churn it, you have to take a journey.
Right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is another verse. Pitrinam Aryamas Chasmi. There is a planet of trees presided over by Aryama, who represents Krishna. And in the manuscript, it looks like trees has been crossed out, and it looks like Prabhupada's handwriting. I don't know who else's it would be. That's been replaced by ancestors, because of course it's not supposed to be trees, it's supposed to be pit trees. Pitrina Maryamas Chasmi. And if you go, actually it's fun. Why not? Let's do this. If you go to my website, that's just a boarding pass, but if you go to my website, you'll see there's a blog entry. There we go. And you can see, yes, from Ratiyatra in Los Angeles, Suhas Prabhu saw this man who was from the planet of the trees. And I did some research on the internet, and I found that indeed there is a planet of the trees, and it's quite a place. Yeah, Lord of the Rings also.
Wizard of Oz.
So maybe that's what Prabhupada had in mind, but I don't think so. Okay. I'll skip over this one just in the interest of time. Yeah, I'm going to give you one more, which is what's known in the in American slang as a doozy. If you're not familiar with doozy, then this is a good opportunity. A doozy is really something. When you say that something's a doozy, you're saying it's really quite something. This is from the first edition. There are many descriptions of sacrifices and special functions of the pumundi, or special work in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. Thus one may be gradually elevated to the state of knowledge. I looked at that and said, what is this pumundi? Anyone familiar with this a special function of the pumundi? No one knows about this pumundi ceremony. I thought you were all followers of Vedic culture. You don't know about the pumundi. Very esoteric pumundi. I couldn't find any such word anywhere in any dictionary as pumundi. So I just changed it to something sensible. Functions of punya, because that contextually made sense. Some pious ceremonies. Or special work in the result, in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. In the context, that makes sense. You're supposed to apply your work yourself in punya karma. But again, one of our editors, or one of our translators, wasn't satisfied with that and went to the production manager and said, you know, there must be more to it. Can we get closer in here? Can we go to the commentary? So they went to the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and they found the relevant portion, Agnihotra Darsha Purnamasyadi Bir, fire sacrifices and full moon sacrifices. Purnamasi comes from Purnima. And so what it should be is special functions for the full moon day. The Prabhupada said, full moon day. Okay, that's pretty much the whole story. As I mentioned, all of this information is available to you at bbtedit.com. A special feature is that you can go and see the original book on which I edited, and there, for each change, you'll find an explanation, and you'll find images from the original manuscripts showing what Prabhupada originally said. So instead of the here it's what it was, here's what it is, oh my God, you'll find here's what it is, here's the revision that was made, here's why it was made, and here's your picture of the manuscript underlying the revision. So you can go through, so far 8 chapters are online, you can go through and see for yourself. These are just for the purports. There's also an extensive section addressing just about every revision in the translation that's been called into question. So you can see, instead of old version, new version, you'll see old version, manuscript, new version, which allows you to make a better informed judgment. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj, for this insight. I'd just like to, you know, Bhumi Mataji had made a point earlier about, you know, the size of the book. And not the actual content, but the physical structure.
What they call the getup.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have this project called Motel Gita, where we place books in motels. And personally also, I would like to thank you, Maharaj, and everyone involved in DBT for even considering a different book for motels. I mean, of course, I know that's just a thought, but because we have received a lot of feedback from hoteliers themselves. For example, a book with a hard vinyl cover. A harder vinyl cover may help. Vinyl cover may help. Then, for example, the cost of the book. We have placed over 100,000, 150,000 books, so even if there is a 20-cent difference, that will be a huge saving.
Yeah.
So, and I would like to thank you, Maharaj, and everyone involved in BBT for even considering our request for this. Of course, we are not there, but the point I'm trying to make here as a book distributor is that, you know, considering the time, place, and circumstances, if such, I mean, not, we are not talking about the content within the book. We are talking about the practicality of, you know, mass distribution. If that helps, that will be much appreciated.
The publisher has to do this. And Prabhupada, when he was the publisher, did this. He looked at the paper quality, he looked at the size of the type, he looked at the cover materials, he looked at the price. And he looked at how he was going to distribute the books. So we do have to take into account that we're distributing books I'm working in Africa. So I really have to be price sensitive. I'm working in environments where, well, price sensitivity is at a high pitch. So we do have to take price into account, and we do have to look for appropriate, and you can say clever, ways that we can bring that price down as far as possible and still present a book of, you know, that's worthy of the author. So we are sensitive to that, and we can't fail to appreciate the work that's been done in placing so many copies of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in so many motels, and we have to value that service and make sure that it's supported. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Can I have one comment?
Yes.
When Lord Krishna himself didn't bother about the size of the book, Lord Krishna, who has written the Bhagavad Gita, he never bothered about the size of the book or the pictures which go inside his book. He was more concerned about the content and what he's trying to convey the meaning to the world. Why, how come our Prabhupada
would
be worried about the size of the book?
Of course, Krishna just spoke the book. The pictures were all in words. He didn't publish anything in, you know, printing presses or anything like that. But Srila Prabhupada was concerned that the book be appreciated, that it be valued. You know, we can print Bhagavad Gita on the worst paper, with the worst binding, with no pictures, with sort of a negligent presentation. But then people will give it that value. They'll think this is not a very important book. You can just look at it, it's kind of a trashy item. So you want to give it a respectable dress. Just like your wife, we know that she must be a very respectable lady, that she must be a person of quality, that she must be, you know, so many ways a worthy person. So she doesn't really need to be dressed nicely, because however she's dressed, she is who she is. On the other hand, if we do value our wife, then we want to see that she's nicely dressed, that she has nice ornaments. She doesn't have to be dressed like the Queen of England, especially if we can't afford to dress her like the Queen of England. But we want to see that she's, when she goes into any gathering,
that she looks very respectable, that she doesn't look like she's starving, that what's wrong with her husband, he can't even afford to, you know, what are all those holes in her sari, and it looks like it's 60 years old. She should be respectably dressed. Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj, one of our leading devotees, when he was a brahmachari, he really didn't care very much about his dress. Because he was very, although he was the son of a wealthy family, he took to Krishna consciousness and became indifferent to material concerns. You know, he was concerned with the service of Krishna. So he didn't give much attention to his cloth. You know, whatever he was wearing, it was what he was wearing. And Prabhupada noticed it, and Prabhupada said, asked him that he should please dress nicely. He said, just for me. And Prabhupada quoted the aphorism, first dress, then address.
Wow.
Because just like I understand that when you go into court, your just your suit of clothes costs, what, $1,500, $2,000. You know, I could go in there with my Adidas sneakers and a t-shirt and give a winning argument. But when you're dressed respectably, then the judge, the jury, have to take you seriously because of your appearance. So the same idea applies here. And as for the pictures, Prabhupada's idea was that they will attract the attention of the conditioned souls. That Prabhupada said they're windows to the spiritual world, and they will become enlightened even just by seeing the pictures. Yes?
So, Maharaj, I just wanted to ask you that if the changes are appropriate and really needed in the second edition, which is definitely, so what is the necessity of, again, allowing to publish supreme the first edition, which will give a contradiction or a wrong message to the people, those who get first edition, sixth edition, the common people will be confused and they will admit there's something wrong, so the BBT, our stand is not strong enough, so that they're allowing it. And, you know,
well, there's really no need, but for those who prefer the first edition, we make it available on the idea that after all, they're the customers, so they should be, what's the word?
Accommodated.
We think that they're making, that their choice is not the best choice, but for those who prefer that choice, we accommodate them. And all right. We don't think it's the best of all possible worlds. Ideally, everyone would agree, you know, those same people complain, oh, people are confused because there's two editions. Yet they're the ones who insist on having the inferior edition that causes confusion. So, in the words of the sages, what can you do?
Is that what the sages say?
Yeah.
Horrible.
You know the story about the man and the boy and the horse? Prabhupada tells a story. There was a man and a boy, and they had a horse. So the man and the boy were riding on the horse. And they came into the town, and people began criticizing. But this poor horse, he has to carry both the man and the boy. So then, okay, they heard the criticism. So when they came to the next town, the man was walking, and the boy was on the horse. And then people criticized that the boy is on the horse and his father has to walk. This is not very good. So they went to the next town. This time the father was on the horse, the son was on the ground. And then people criticized this poor boy, he has to walk while the father sits on the horse. So then they came to the next town. This time they were both walking and leading the horse. People said, they're so stupid. They have a horse and they're both walking.
One
And there's an emotional, sentimental attachment that we had for that version, especially the verses, which, you know, like Prabhupada himself said, wasn't as important as the purports. So some of those devotees who say those kinds of things are just emotionally attached to that. But they've learned and it's like that.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and therefore...
That's why I sent out the verses for public comment.
Yeah. That's why I would say it is logical that you allow both versions to be sold at a BBT.
Anything else?
Well, there's a few questions. One is that Prabhupada made a statement about change being your American disease, and a lot of people apply that to the book edits because the book edits means changes. What was he really meaning when he said that? Was he referring to changing his books or editing the books, and also I know it had to do with the Brahma Samhita, but he mentioned that they should just leave it out as it was.
Prabhupada applied this change as your American disease in many different fields, changing book covers and things. It did apply to books sometimes, but I know that my prescribed duty was changing the books. You know, Prabhupada wrote them. And then he employed editors. What are editors? They're people who change your words, right? That's what they do. They make changes. They change commas into periods. They change semicolons into commas. They change capital letters into small letters. They change this spelling to that spelling. They move words around. They make all these changes. That's what I really did. That's what I did. That's what all the editors did. So Prabhupada was against change as a rigid policy. Nothing should be changed because that's disease. Somehow he employed us to spread this disease or to yeah.
Well, what did he mean by that then?
He meant that needless change he meant what he said, that we have a tendency to just change and change and change and change. Something as fine as it is, and you change it for no reason. Just because change is your American disease.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we take seriously that he did mean what he said. But I don't think that change is your American disease, and therefore when Kunti prays from Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiran Mayena Patrena, when you change that back, it's your American disease. When you change abhayam, when you change payam, fearlessness, to abhayam, that's your American disease. When you change sea journey to sea journey, that's your American disease. When you change the fruit of being back to what it was supposed to have been, that's your American disease. I don't really see that. Now, maybe it's just because I'm too far gone that the disease has gotten hold of me.
But the evidence is, and you pointed it out, to Prabhupada more than once, when he found something glaring, he immediately...
Yeah.
Insisted on it being changed on the spot.
Yeah, there are letters where Prabhupada's he picked up the galley of a book where there had been inadequate editing, and Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And he started pointing out all the things that should have been changed.
Yeah.
So, if it was an American disease, it seems like it was also an Indian disease. If you think that just making any change is wrong. That change is, you know, maybe we should just, you know, you just built a new temple. Now that was terrible. Because you had a temple and you changed. And change is your American disease. Then you have to apply naked mother logic. Your mother was naked when she was a baby, so she should be naked now. Because otherwise it's change. It can be carried to the point of absurdity. Now, that said, one has to be very cautious about making changes. Changes should not be made whimsically. Changes should not be made without authority. Changes should not be made for no purpose or for whimsical purposes. But that doesn't mean that as soon as we see change,
change means disease. We change our clothes every day. I don't think it's our American disease.
And this is something that you would say, I know, but we have in writing from Srila Prabhupada directly that of all the editors, he trusted Jayadwaita Maharaj. That's from that should be good enough for us.
That should change.
I wanted to point out just how far some people have taken this experience that I had on at Rath Yatra this last weekend, that we were in the booth, you were answering questions in the question and answer booth, and I was sometimes passing out Bhagavad Gitas and accepting donations, and we did about 7 Gitas that way, or one lady got a Krishna book because she already had a Gita. You may not have seen this, Maharaj, but there was a gray-haired lady sitting in a chair over on the right side, and a nice young man with long hair accepted a soft-bound Gita from me and gave me $3. And she tried to break up the sale. And she said, that's not the original that Prabhupada authorized. And the boy was a little confused for a second, and I ignored her and just took his money and thanked him, and he was just leaving. And he left. And I thought, for anyone who's a book distributor and who cares about distributing Prabhupada's books, that kind of attitude just seems, I mean, whether it's this book or that book, it's Prabhupada's Gita, and we're distributing the book, and she was like just trying to keep me from distributing a book, and that it's gotten that bad with some devotees.
Unfortunately.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we went door to door last couple of months ago, and we distributed a Srimad Bhagavatam set to one person who was a little bit inclined in Krishna consciousness and who was new. And that happened that that person goes to the other temple where they don't follow this system. And we distributed the Bhagavatam set, and then he returned the Bhagavatam set, and he criticized us, saying that I thought this is the original version of Srimad Bhagavatam, but you gave me a revised edition.
You know, it's really, this is a particularly odd one. I've seen on the website of that same person who's, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, the original Bhagavatam is unedited. The fact is, the Srimad Bhagavatam that the BBT is selling now, the same Srimad Bhagavatam we were selling in Prabhupada's time. There hasn't been a second edition of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the same book. So, you know, they're returning it to you because you're not advertising. If you'd advertised that it was the original 1972 book, you would have been perfectly right and they would have been perfectly happy. So it's total confusion. There is no second edition of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Unless you count the first three volumes
from
India.
Unless you count the first three volumes from India,
which
we don't.
But ask you to edit.
Now, to be fair, there are some very small revisions in Bhagavatam and all the other books, tiny ones. Every now and then we find a long A that should be a short A, or a short A that should be a long A, or a comma that should have been a something else. Very slight things. The kind of thing that doesn't even earn you second edition on your title page, regardless of what publisher you are. Those are just the sort of things that are routinely fixed by any publisher without bothering to say a new edition, because it's not a new edition, it's just a fix. So there's no second edition.
But they're also, if they are only authorized to publish books that were pre-1978, then there wouldn't be the 10th, 11th, and 12th cantos in their version of the Bhagavatam.
Correct.
So that is one difference between the one that we're distributing and the one that...
Yeah, no change. In Prabhupada's time, it only had cantos 1 through beginning of 10, and so for the rest of eternity, or that, no change.
Okay.
Okay. Was there a last question?
As a token of our appreciation for everyone attending tonight, we have copies of Responsible Publishing. Josh, is she around? To celebrate tonight's long-awaited class by His Holiness Jayadeva Swami, we have this excellent publication called Responsible Publishing. So you can take this home at your leisure and go through it and review.